A lawsuit filed during the 2022 midterms against the city of Green Bay regarding an election observation process has been settled. It's Tuesday, July 11th. This is Wisconsin Today. Good morning. I'm Alex Crow. Coming up, state lawmakers started the fiscal year with a historic surplus. Now, after Governor Tony Evers signed the state budget, billions of dollars are still available. And Rebecca Cook, an Eau Claire Democrat, announced her 2024 campaign for a seat in Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
Green Bay will not go to trial in a lawsuit over access given to election observers during early in-person voting in the 2022 midterms. As Joe Schultz reports, the city settled the suit last week after a trial was slated to begin in September.
The lawsuit was filed on behalf of the Republican National Committee and 4 election observers. The suit says officials did not let observers in a public hallway where voters were filling out ballots, performing witness signature, and depositing ballots. A final order as part of the settlement requires the city to let observers watch all public aspects of the process. Kevin Kennedy is the state's former chief elections official.
The balance is really, can they readily observe the public aspects of this, meaning they can't be looking over the person's shoulder when they're marking the ballot? And can the election officials get their job done?
The city will not be required to admit wrongdoing as part of the settlement, and both sides will have to pay their own legal fees. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin schools reported nearly 6,000 instances of seclusion and nearly 7,000 occurrences of physical restraint during the 2021-22 school year. That's according to the Wisconsin Department of Instruction. Wisconsin students with individualized education plans made up nearly 80% of incidents, but students with IEPs only make up about 14% of Wisconsin's school-aged children. DPI's Abby Swetz used to be a special education teacher. She says social and emotional learning is key for educators to help students.
How can we make sure the professionals in our schools are all trained in how to regulate emotions? How can we make sure that we're meeting the mental health needs that are so significant and that we know are growing in significance?
Overall, students were secluded at 32% of Wisconsin schools, and students at 44% of schools were restrained. This is the 3rd year schools have been required to report seclusion and restraint to DPI. Governor Tony Evers and Republican lawmakers began this year facing the question of how to handle a historic budget surplus. As Sean Johnson reports, they ended the process with billions of dollars still in the bank.
Evers and lawmakers started the year with a projected surplus of around $7 billion. The governor proposed a wide variety of ways to spend it that Republicans rejected. Republicans proposed spending the bulk of the surplus on a massive income tax cut. Evers vetoed it for the top 2 income brackets. Jason Stein with the Wisconsin Policy Forum said that left the state with a projected balance of around $4 billion, not to mention another $1.8 billion in its rainy day fund.
So there's still a massive amount of monies that the state still has in reserve.
Evers and Republicans could still spend the money if they agree on a new plan. If they don't, it could stay in the general fund, and the same debates could start all over again 2 years from now. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Eau Claire business owner Rebecca Cook is the first to announce her campaign to challenge Republican Congressman Derek Van Orden in 2024. Hope Kerwin has more on next year's election for the Western Wisconsin seat.
This is Cook's second bid for Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. She lost the Democratic primary last year to State Senator Brad Paff. But political scientist Anthony Chergosky from the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse says Cook still exceeded expectations, giving her a strong start for 2024. He says any Democrat will likely face an uphill battle against Van Orden, who Chergosky says is a strong fundraiser.
We know that incumbents can raise a lot of money, especially compared to challengers. So it makes sense that Democrats would want to get an early start.
Van Orden's campaign did not respond to a request for comment. A National Republican Congressional Committee spokesperson called Cook a, quote, extreme Democrat activist in a statement. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A statewide dry spell is making farmers across Wisconsin uneasy about the prospect of their crops. The U.S. Drought Monitor shows much of the state is experiencing severe or moderate drought. Most of Dane County is dealing with extreme drought. Derek Orth owns Orthridge Jerseys in Fenimore. He's also on the board of Grant County's Farm Bureau. He told WPR's The Morning Show last week that his corn and alfalfa crops are taking longer than usual to germinate. That's making him and other farmers nervous about the coming months.
If we had a normal summer the next 2 to 3 months, I think we'd be okay. But if the next 2 months mimic the last 2 months, we will definitely be short on feed.
Despite some areas getting rain over the 4th of July holiday, forecasters say the region is not likely to get relief anytime soon. And finally, a newly released study found close to half of the nation's tap water may be contaminated with harmful forever chemicals known as PFAS. Danielle Kading has more.
PFAS are used in everyday products and firefighting foam. Research shows high exposure has been linked to some cancers and fertility issues. A study recently released by the U.S. Geological Survey found at least 45% of the nation's tap water could have one or more of the chemicals. USGS research hydrologist Kelly Smalling says the study examined samples from public and private wells at more than 700 sites, including 8 from Wisconsin.
We did collect some samples from La Crosse and the French Island area, and those have been in the news as having some issues with PFAS. And we did see PFAS, as we would expect, in those areas.
State environmental regulators have tested more than 600 public water supplies for PFAS. Most samples show PFAS below rates concerning to state health officials. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And that'll do it. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow. Our producers are Mallory Chang and John Davis. As always, you can catch us every single weekday morning, and don't forget to subscribe, leave us a rating, and review. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.